Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some things are either black or white. There's no room for gray, no in between. You can't be a little bit pregnant or a little bit married. You can't be somewhat dead. When Jesus was casting out demons and the crowd marveled, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons, by Beelzebul." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." There is no middle ground. Either Jesus is your Savior or your enemy. There's no such thing as a half Christian. There's no fence sitting. There's no neutrality. No, not choosing sides. If you will not be on the side of Christ, you are already on the side of the devil. Either you are a Christian or not. There's no more a half Christian than there can be a half husband. Those who contend, "I believe in God, but that doesn't mean I need to go home, that doesn't mean I need to be where He delivers His gifts," are like a husband who says, "I believe in my wife, but it doesn't mean I need to go home to her at night and eat the meal she has prepared for me. She knows that I love her. I can love her when I'm out with my buddies or in the arms of a mistress. She's still my wife." Nonsense. You cannot reject the Lord's gifts, His word and His sacraments, and suppose to be a Christian. To reject the gifts is to reject the giver. There's a similar danger for parents who suppose they can have their children baptized and then break their vows to ensure that the child is brought to the services in the Lord's house and instructed towards faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Baptism is an exorcism, a driving out of the devil. Through baptism, the Lord Jesus continues to drive out demons as He did in the gospel reading, to sweep the house clean, to evict the strong man Satan. Jesus is the stronger man who, through holy baptism and the preaching of His word, binds the strong man and casts him out of the house. And then, driven out, the devil doesn't return while the house is still occupied, but he waits for the stronger man no longer to be welcome in the house, no longer, therefore, to occupy the house. If you keep your children or yourselves from the places where God delivers His faith-creating, life-sustaining gifts, eventually the stronger man, Jesus, will have departed. And when the devil finds the house empty and swept clean, he returns 7 times more powerfully. And the last condition of those baptized who depart from the faith is worse than before. There's no such thing as a half-Christian. No way to love both Beelzebul, the devil, the world, your sinful flesh, and also Jesus, your Savior. A kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A divided household falls. You cannot remain both in Christ and in your sin. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No middle ground, No half Christians. Blessed Dr. Walther, the first president of the Synod, preached, "What is the true cause of this conduct? It so happens that all such, without suspecting it, belong to the devil's kingdom. He does not permit them to see that fundamentally they are still enemies of Christ, enemies of His grace, His word, His kingdom, enemies of His church and His believers. The devil holds them captive in his net. They do his will. He deceives them most shamefully. God says, either completely mine or not at all. Leave the devil completely and join Christ. That's the only way to do it. The devil, on the other hand, gladly permits his subjects to be half Christian, to be somewhat pious, to do this or that good work, for then he has them most securely in his power. Such half Christians are the most unfortunate of all the devil's subjects because they are secure, supposing they lack nothing. They are going the correct middle road, and therefore they always live with the delusion that they are members of Christ's kingdom, but they go to hell with their imagined faith," preaches Dr. Walther. Repent. Dangers abound, to be sure. But the comfort is that the Pharisees and those in the crowd who accused Jesus of driving out demons by the power of the prince of demons are wrong. Dead wrong. Jesus drove out demons, not by the power of Satan, but by the finger of God. Satan's kingdom, then, is undone. Jesus' power to bind the strong man, to drive him out of the houses, the people he chooses to occupy, flows from the power he displayed on the cross, a power over death, yet hidden in death. The one who drove out demons, who made the mute man speak, Jesus Christ is the stronger man. He came to destroy the kingdom of the devil, to bind the strong man, to pillage his kingdom, to snatch from his control the Lord's elect. He broke the strong man's power by the finger of God. Or more precisely, by the 10 fingers of God, which were nailed to the cross. On the cross, when the stronger man, Jesus Christ, died for the sins of the world, the kingdom of the strong man, the devil, was left hollow and broken. Just as the devil's kingdom is united and fiercely compact, so on the other side is Christ's kingdom. Likewise, united and closely bonded together. When the devil assails a Christian, he assails Christ himself and the whole heavenly host. As Christ himself said to Saul, who persecuted the Christians, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Two champions stand opposed, Christ and Satan, and each has a strong, united kingdom. Whoever provokes a devil provokes Beelzebul, chief of the devils, and all the devils with him. And on the other hand, whoever provokes and attacks a Christian attacks Christ, his Lord, and all his angels with him. But Christ alone is the stronger man, who can topple the reign of the strong man. He drove out the demon from the mute man and, in the waters of holy baptism, has driven the devil out of you. You belong to him. And he fights for you zealously against all devils and all the powers of hell. No one attacks his Christians without also attacking Christ. It's not up to you to avoid being a half Christian any more than it's up to you to make yourself a whole Christian. You can do neither. But by driving out the devil in holy baptism, the Lord has made you wholly His, completely a part of His kingdom. He has driven the demon out of your house, and He has filled you with Himself instead. There's no middle ground, to be sure. And being in the devil's kingdom is remarkably easy. But there's nothing so easy as being in the stronger man's possession. because there's nothing you need to do. Jesus claims you as His own. He causes you to dwell in Him. He provides to you His Word, which sends the demons fleeing. He sends His ministers to speak His words of holy absolution to you, which puts them on the retreat. He graces you with His very presence around the altar, which is enough to send the devils packing back to hell. And then He fills you with Himself when He places His body into your mouth. When He sends His blood coursing down your throat, the demons don't stand a chance. They cannot dwell in the presence of the stronger man, Jesus Christ. And you are with Him because He has delivered to you His gift of faith. Because He makes you holy and completely His. Because He sustains you with His weapons of mass devil destruction, His Word and His sacraments. You, therefore, are His. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.